I'm Jordan Robinson, host of the new podcast, The Women's Hoop Show. Each episode, I'll be joined by a rotating group of women's basketball experts to talk WNBA, college hoops, the new Unrivaled League, and the shifting landscape of the sport. The game is growing, and so are we. Listen to and follow The Women's Hoop Show and Odyssey Podcast, available now for free on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to the best of the Giants.
And the Giants have won!
A weekly mix of WFAN Sports Radio 101.9's best NFL talk to get you ready for game day.
We have a new game of Posted and Toasted coming up in about 20 minutes. Plus, Brian Daboll met the media. Did he give us a hint about what they're going to do in the draft? We'll take a listen. And there were a few things that jumped out at me because Brian Daboll doesn't say a lot. So you've really got to, you know, kind of look closely or listen closely right to what he has to say.
Bill Belichick with a personality.
Yes.
That's Dabes.
I think that's a fair comparison. He's got a lot of Belichickian in him, minus all those victories. He said something that I kind of want to say he's full of crap on. I kind of want to say there's no way this happened. And I only say that because, look at me, I'm anal. I'm crazy. I watch all sorts of plays. I like to rewatch games occasionally, like from 30 years ago. But I think what Brian Daboll claims he did in evaluating Russell Wilson is BS.
Okay.
I'm going to play it for you. And obviously you can tell me, Dabes would do this, or Dabes did do this. Here's what he said in terms of watching and analyzing Russell Wilson's career.
Yeah, I've watched every play of his since 2012. He's got over 7,500 pass plays. Just wanted to see some of the things that he did well. See if, you know, as we get going here, we got to start putting together what we're going to do. Everybody's got a lot of plays, but I want to look at these players, specifically the quarterbacks, and, you know, make good decisions with the things that we install. So we watch the Denver tape, the Steeler tape, watch all the Seahawks tape. Did a lot of work on it.
7,500 plays?
Yeah, it's doable.
Really?
Yeah.
How long would that take? How long does each play take? Because I started calculating it and it felt impossible.
So the issue is, like, you can fly through. I can watch a full game. You guys know this because when doing the games last year, I can fly through a game in probably 25 minutes or so.
Okay.
Watch every play and understand exactly what happened. And so when you're watching a specific player, sometimes you'll ball snapped. If it's a sack, you just run through it, right? It takes less than 3 seconds to get through it.
Oh, okay. So I didn't calculate 3 seconds. That's quick.
Because if it's a busted play or it's a bad snap or it's not what you're looking for. You're looking to see, all right, let's look at his drop back. Let's look at his delivery of a ball outside the numbers. Let's look at the delivery of the balls inside the numbers. Let's look at, you know, how many times he scrambles. And so you see, you can tell immediately what's going to happen in a play. And so the ones that you don't need, you go right through. So absolutely, that was doable.
If you watch each play and it takes you 5 seconds, it would still take you 10 hours. Think about that.
Right.
So watch. Now, 10 hours feels a little doable.
But this has been 3 months. It's like 2 months.
So he goes home every day, goes to work, and just watches Russell Wilson play.
It's your job.
No, I get you.
I mean, honestly.
And he probably did a bunch last year before they met with Russell.
Right. Exactly. That's exactly right. So it's an accumulation of watching. So it's not just, I did this last week. I've been doing this for a year and a half because we were looking at him a year ago. I'm trying to think back to my playing days, like how much tape we watched. Because that's what made me a good player at the end of my career. I just watched tape over and over and over and over and over again. I'd bring it home and you'd watch tape. I probably watched 1,000 plays a week.
Wow.
That's not even an exaggeration.
But that's a lot of plays.
Of course it is, but you're doing it from the moment you get to practice.
How many seconds for each play?
I'm going to do the math. I don't know, 5 seconds. But you do it as soon as you get to the stadium because you're studying the team that you're about to play. You're doing it as you're watching the cut-ups and you're installing your offense. You do it after practice when you order pizza, and sometimes on Fridays you have sneak beers into the joint. You do it when you get home. Like, you're just always watching tape.
All right. So, Brian Daboll, if you're listening, I'm sorry. You're not full of crap.
No, he's definitely not.
Very, very hard. You've watched every... If you watched every play of Russell Wilson's career, like, if we gave you that assignment...
His career?
Yeah, well, that's what he said he watched. He didn't just say Denver.
He did say 2012.
Said,
yeah,
he said since the beginning, he's watched every play.
I'd be bored out of my mind.
Yeah, I was going to ask you. How far can you go? Like, if we start with last year and say, just keep watching until you're bored, how far could you go before you're like, I can't do
this? Well, I mean, I watched a lot of his last year's tape already.
And what do you think?
I mean, it was just, some of it was really good and made some big plays. A lot of it was just kind of like, all right, yeah, next.
What did Brian Daboll see?
He probably saw that. There's a potential of him... of that Russell that you saw when he was close to being an MVP candidate.
Right.
But there's also a lot of it that's just holding the ball too long, trying to make something happen. It does it. It breaks down. And so he scrambles and makes a bad decision.
Right.
Whether that's taking a sack or throwing an ill-advised throw. But there were some of these games, I forget which one it was, where he was just in. He was dialed in.
Yeah, yeah.
Made every right throw, timing exactly right. And so you know it's still there. It's just not there consistently. And it's why he's been on four teams in 5 years.
The question is, can Brian Daboll do something that Arthur Smith couldn't do, that Nate Hackett couldn't do, that he will, I don't want to say unlock Russ, because the guy's had a hell of a career.
Sean Payton as well.
Sean Payton, I shouldn't leave him out.
Right. Think of all the coaches that he's been through, going back to, I forgot who the coordinator was his last year in Seattle. Was it Waldron? I think it was Shane Waldron. But so you go through all of these coordinators, and it's Waldron, and then Hackett, and then Sean Payton, and then obviously Arthur Smith, and now it's Brian Daboll or Mike Kafka, however you want to look at it, with the New York Giants. And there's a lot of different stuff that's been muddled into his head over the last couple of years. So how do you get him to play free?
Mm.
And that's Dave's biggest challenge. His biggest challenge is going to be managing that quarterback room.
One of our biggest challenges is deciphering what Brian Daboll means. So he was asked directly, what have you learned about Shedeur Sanders? Very direct question. Mm. Listen to this gobbledygook of an answer.
Yeah, again, I respect the question. Just relative to the guys in the draft and the draft picks and the evaluation process of these guys, I'll keep all that stuff in-house right now.
So he told us nothing.
Nothing.
I'm not going to tell you anything. So here's another attempt.
He just wanted to acknowledge that he heard your question, but I'm not answering.
He also gave you a thank you. Yeah. That really disarms you. Like, thank you for the question. I appreciate it. Will you take a quarterback at 3? That's like the million-dollar question. I still think they will. Here's Daboll's answer to the very direct question: Will you take a quarterback at 3?
Yeah, we're gonna go through the evaluation of all the guys that have been on my list to look at and talk to, and again, everything's got to fall in line too relative to draft picks, where you are picking, and if somebody else gets picked ahead of time, Everybody out there that, oh my gosh, Michael Penix got taken here. You don't know when they're going to get taken. There's affinity you have for a player. If you feel like that player is the right player and, they're sitting there at the pick, whatever pick it is you have, is it a reach? Is it not a reach? Like, I'm not going to get into that. It's how you feel about the player and, does that player match where you want to take him?
How long can you realistically keep pushing it off then? You know what I'm saying there?
Yeah, no, I understand the question. Look, I'm focused on this draft with the players that are in this draft, and we'll see if we take it.
The follow-up question, if you can hear it, was how long can you keep putting this off? Future franchise quarterback.
It also has to be the right quarterback.
Of course.
That's the last thing you want to do is just be pressured into taking a quarterback because the media says, you need a quarterback, take this kid. And then he busts and then you kill him anyway.
Yeah.
So you're in a no-win situation, so you better take somebody you love.
I really believe, based on all of those salad words that Brian Daboll used, and he used a lot of them, and he's trying to keep everyone off the track, and I respect that.
Tell you nothing.
And I get that. GMs do that.
Right.
They don't want to tell you.
But he's head coaches. Head coach. He's cordially telling you
nothing. Head coaches, and they don't want to tell you anything. They want to make believe they've told you something, but they haven't told you anything. I think I learned something from that whole big gobbledygook.
Which was?
They're taking a quarterback at 3.
Why? Because he said to start the sentence?
It wasn't even that. It was just, I think what they're doing is they're saying, look, we don't need to. We have Russell Wilson. We've got Jameis Winston. We're good. We don't need to reach on the board. But Brian Daboll knows we need to walk away with a young future quarterback. We just can't announce it to the world. And by signing 2 veterans, it's almost like a deflection. Right. Like, we don't need to. So I take those words to mean we got this. We're going to take a quarterback. Do you guys agree with me?
Yeah, I think all roads continue to lead back to Shador Sanders.
Yeah, I agree. You agree with me, Tommy?
I agree with you. Even if Shador and Cam are off the board, you got to take a quarterback at three, and I think they will.
Yeah, I think they will, too. I think they, I don't think he's crazy.
I disagree with that.
So I don't know if they'll take Jackson Dart at three. What I think they may do at three is trade back. I could see that being a scenario where they still get the quarterback. They get extra draft assets later.
Right.
But I do think they're ending up with a quarterback in the first round.
Okay, but that would be like taking the quarterback at three. Let's say they trade with the Jets, right, and the Jets draft whomever, and they take Dart or Milroe at seven. To me, that's using the third overall pick on a quarterback.
No, that's why I'm kind of...
semantics.
That's why I'm kind of like...
But to Sean's point there.
No, because it's not using the third overall pick. It's making sure that you're not just blindly using the third overall pick on a quarterback not worthy of that while getting other assets.
I'm just merely saying I agree with Tommy's point that they're ending the first round with a quarterback, even if they go through a little, hey, it's too early to take Dart here. We're going to trade back.
And I don't think drafting Jackson Dart or Jalen Milroe is blindly taking a quarterback when your quarterback room is Jameis and Russell Wilson and Tommy on his internship.
I also think it's all more likely, too, they sit there and take Hunter or Carter and then trade back in using their other stuff at the end of the first round.
We don't have the clip today, but Dable was talking up Travis Hunter. They're not drafting him.
He wouldn't have said that much about him.
Bingo. A guy who says nothing said a million things about Travis Hunter.
In fairness, so when he was asked about Travis Hunter, he wouldn't answer the question about do you look at him as a corner or a wide receiver, and was even asked about, well, Troy Brown, like what your experience with it, and he wouldn't bite on it.
Yeah,
so I didn't take it that way. I understand what you're saying. I didn't take it as, oh, he's saying so much about Travis Hunter. I think he was avoiding answering anything about Travis Hunter, too. There's one other thing that became a controversy with some. And I want there to be full information. And if you're pissed about it, you have every right to be. And if you're not, at least you have the information. Brian Daboll was asked, and I want you to listen to it. It's the last question he was asked about attending the pro days for both Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter.
Mm-hmm.
And Daboll said no. And so that became a story. Like, how is Brian Daboll not going to the pro day of Shador Sanders and Travis Hunter? Here is him saying no and a reason for why. And then you explain if this is a good reason. Here's Brian Daboll.
No, pro day? No.
Why did you say you're going to pro day? You've gone to pro day in the past, though.
Yeah, I'd say very few of them. I prefer private workouts. You get to spend a lot of time, particularly for the quarterbacks. Now, you know, if there's more than that, potentially, but I prefer private workouts where you can set a script when you're working out the quarterback. Maybe it's different than what they did for the pro day that they've practiced a bunch. You can spend a lot of time with the player in the meeting room in addition to what you've spent before. You can recap some of the things that you taught. You can add some new things. You can see how they interact with some of their guys in a kind of an intimate setting, if you will. Put them in charge of some things to take care of for the workout. So I think this would be, we've done a number of these private workouts for the quarterback position. That's what I prefer.
He's right.
He's right about that?
100%.
All right, so Giant fans, calm down.
Right.
Get your panties out of the
wall. Because
the
pro day is scripted by the coach at the university or a private coach or whatever it may be. And you, as the executive general manager or assistant general manager or player personnel player guy or head coach, all you're doing is observing. Now, you may get some time to interact with the prospect, but you're not in control, right? It's not your workout. The private workout are the ones where you really dig into it. You
right.
get to know the guy. You get to, hey, I'm going to throw this at you and tell me what you think about it. And you've seen these on some of these, off-season videos that they show where they tell you a play and they talk about something else. And they're like, hey, tell me that play again. And tell me how you would dissect this and what would you do in this certain situation. It's just, it's testing the capacity to hear, learn, and retain. And then regurgitate. Because that's what a quarterback is asked to do
right.
on a weekly basis. Right? You may get installed in training camp what the playbook looks like. But it's going to change every single week.
Interesting.
And so being able to retain and execute in the short term is probably the most important skill a quarterback has to have. And you can find that out by just having a conversation with a guy and throwing stuff at him and seeing what he does.
So Sean, as the conduit to the crazy Giant fan with one giant step, mm-hmm. can you tell them to calm the hell down about Daboll not going to the pro day? Can you do that for us?
I'm absolutely going to tell them, and I will be called a Daboll shill as a result, but I will do that.
Tell them Tiki said it.
Tiki said it as well.
Are they going to call Tiki a Daboll shill?
I'm sure they will. Okay. That's the go-to. You can't defend Brian Daboll without being a Daboll shill.
Okay, fair enough.
But Russ's tweet doesn't show us any evidence that Russell gave Tay Banks anything. Quote, salute to my guy and young star Tay Banks. Grateful for letting me wear number three, King. Full of gratitude. Well, what'd you give him, Russ? Did you bully him? Did you say, hey, I'm Russell Wilson, give me your freaking number?
No. The first segment you said that Russell Wilson comes across as more, what, egotistical, not humble.
That's correct. Mm-hmm.
You know what a humble person does?
What's that?
Doesn't tell the world what he gave somebody for something. Doesn't want all the credit in the world.
or he didn't give up anything, yeah. And so he's just a bully. Well, I mean, you could twist it however you'd like.
Or is he playing 3D chess here?
Right.
Okay. Tay Banks now has tweeted out as the Giants. He is taking number two now.
Right.
Who famously wore number two at college? Shador Sanders and Jackson Dart. Is Russell Wilson taking three from Tay Banks, making Tay take number two? So
you know, it doesn't work that way. Then college,
the new college quarterback comes in, doesn't get his number, and is pissed off.
When you're a rookie, you get whatever the hell they give.
Remember what Tiki said about rookies, okay?
They suck.
Now, speaking of the rookie Shador Sanders, and we got to really be careful in trying to interpret this, but Deion and Shador were talking about what we've discussed here for the first half hour of this program, and that is the dynamics in that quarterback room. Strong personalities like Jameis Winston and Russell Wilson. So take a listen and see if maybe we can kind of gain any thought processes of Deion and Shador when it comes to potentially being a New York Giant and joining that eclectic mix in the quarterback room.
But if all of them go to New York, they talk about the pregame prayer going to be fire. But Russell and James, the pregame prayer going to be off the chain.
Man, I'll be in there pissed.
You're going to be over there, hey, man.
Come on, hey, look, bro. I ain't trying to hit it. Come on, bro.
You're going to be getting baptized for the game.
Said you're gonna get baptized before the game, which is a very funny line. It sounds like Shador said, "I'd be pissed."
Yeah,
did you hear that?
I did.
Oh, wait a second. So Shador would be pissed to be in that quarterback room?
I don't think it was a quarterback room. I think he was talking about the pregame prayer in the locker room.
Well, so Shador finds both corny.
Yeah, clearly that's how I would take that.
I think I don't know if every team still does it every game. But I feel like I did it for every game I said the Lord's Prayer. Mm. As far as I can remember, back to when I was, I don't know, 8, 9 years old.
Right.
We always did that. But I think what he's saying is Russell and Jameis might take it to an extra degree.
Yeah, they're going to baptize him before the game, according to Deion.
Where's the water?
So does that concern you? Because it does sound like he said I'd be pissed.
It doesn't concern me.
I don't think it concerns me, but it just... You know, like I almost wish we're getting this point a month out. Can we stop having microphones around Shador Sanders until he gets drafted now?
No, you can't. And you know why? Because the Sanders family has them around them all the time.
Right.
It is the Kardashians of sports.
You see what they want you to see.
Yes.
And this audio is included in that. They're playing chess.
Is Shiloh Chloe?
I think you're right.
What's the chess game that they're playing?
Only they know that. But if you follow the cleats, the I only play the Browns in Madden, the stuff from Deion the other day where I said this, but I didn't really say New York. Now this gets leaked. There was something earlier this week with Shador. Who's the guy, the Philly guy? The guy that got the viral videos that he did the video with.
I have no idea.
You know the guy.
Oh, Gilly the Kid.
Yes. And then he was talking about don't go to the NFC East, who and everyone was trying to
Gilly
interpret.
The Kid?
He's a Philly. He's a
I know. I'm sure, but I just have no idea.
My point is that every time
I'm about to be 50,
every time you turn around, there's another little breadcrumb in the 100%. Shador Sanders.
And the breadcrumbs you're saying that he doesn't want to play for the Giants. Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying.
What I'm saying
is that depending on what day they wake up, it seems like they want to play for another NFL franchise.
So
and I will stick to my point that I've originally had is they want him to go number one overall.
Okay. All right.
So that's whoever has a number one overall pick, they'll go.
I think that is the truest thing you said is that they want to be. I mean, it's just this thing of pride.
Yeah, I get you.
You can always say I was a number one overall draft pick.
I understand.
No matter what happens to the rest of your career.
It also comes with a lot more pressure.
Of course it does. Especially if it's an organization that's looking at you as a savior.
Yeah, especially if the guy taken behind you turns out to be a lot better.
Right.
I think that adds to it, too. And it doesn't feel like there's any chance he's going to go number one overall. But we'll see. We'll get to your calls, 888-808-1019. Let's go to Billy in Greenwich, Connecticut. How are you today, Billy?
What up, Billy?
Sorry, my screen is frozen.
Well, guys.
Oh, what's up, Billy?
I'm doing well, guys. I just wanted to bring up, I know there's a lot of talk about the quarterbacks for the Giants, and we're season ticket holders, and it's been disgusting the last 2 years. But ultimately, without an offensive line, we're not going anywhere.
Agreed.
And I haven't heard any talk about who we're picking up, what they're doing, how they're doing. And we could have a great quarterback, but if he has no time to throw the ball, nobody blocking up front, we're never going to get anything done.
Yeah, no, you're right about that.
I wonder what you guys are thinking about that.
Well, I mean, I think the Giants will draft an offensive lineman, probably not in the first round, but they will draft an offensive lineman at some point in this draft. And it might be a second round, third round, or who knows what it is. But they've also done a decent job previously in free agency with their offensive line. Now, because Andrew Thomas got hurt, and then now you're moving Jermaine Illuminor all around as opposed to where he was originally supposed to be, which, by the way, was right guard, and then he had to kick out to right tackle. Look, there's going to be some moving parts. Hopefully they get it solved and correct this offseason, but I think they'll draft an offensive lineman.
But I think you also hit on it. When Andrew Thomas is and was healthy, and I know that's a major question now because he's had 2 years in a row where he hasn't been healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I thought their offensive line last year was formidable.
Yeah.
Like, it went down.
I remember, right. We had the conversation.
Yeah. It all went to hell
right
when Andrew Thomas got hurt. All you got to do is look at the results. The results back that up, and you mentioned how Jermaine Illuminor got moved around. The whole thing became a mess.
Yeah.
So my biggest critique on Joe Shane, and certainly something that they need to protect from, is what happens if Thomas gets hurt again?
Right.
You can't let things derail.
You got to have depth. You have to. Now, they've done some things in free agency. Stone Forsythe has come over. James Hudson has come over. Those guys aren't, like, starters, but they are veterans who can stem, hopefully, the tide until Andrew Thomas, if he does get hurt again. Let's hope it's not season-ending. Like it's been the last couple of times. But you just build depth, and I think they'll do that again in the draft and draft an offensive lineman.
Anthony's in Harlem. What's up, Anthony?
Afternoon, fellas.
What's up, dude?
Yo.
I heard Russell Wilson gave a signed poster of Russell Wilson to Tay Banks.
I like that. That's a good one. Yes. It's possible.
Listen, right now, this time, I'm a Jets fan. You guys know that. I kind of feel like Tiki Barber circa 2023. Like, I'm not rooting against the Giants, but I kind of want them to draft Shedeur Sanders because I just kind of, like, want to see what happens with that QB room. Like, it's NASCAR almost, you know?
Right. I like that. Tiki Barber 2023. You didn't hate the Jets.
No.
But you enjoyed watching the sideshow.
Yeah. No, it's must-watch television.
The New York Giants and the New York Jets have switched places. Now, they're both losers as of now in terms of just winning games over the last couple of years. Though the Giants did have the playoff season. I don't want to dismiss that.
Yeah.
But over the last few years, the Jets and Giants are both losers. Right now, the Jets have morphed into boring losers, which could be a good thing.
And it sounds intentional.
Yes. Aaron Glenn said that.
Said we are flying below the radar. We do not care to win the offseason.
The New York Giants are very entertaining losers. From John Mara on camera with Saquon Barkley, I'm going to lose sleep, to Saquon leaving, to the quarterback personalities they just brought in, to the rumors around Shedeur Sanders. Like, the Giants are entertaining.
Yeah.
Now, entertaining could lead you to another 4 or 5 win season, but the Giants and Jets have switched places, and that's not, like, really a good thing.
Not a good thing at all. What do you mean, not really? It's not a good thing at all.
It's not a good thing. Frank is calling from Tom's River. How are you, Frank?
Hello, gentlemen. Good afternoon.
What's up, man?
Good afternoon, sir. What's on your mind?
How about this? Jameis Winston has the most arm talent in the NFC.
I mean,
how about that?
How about that?
You're not necessarily wrong.
He's got great arm talent.
Right. I think it's better than Dak.
He has a cannon.
Yeah, it's bigger. It's bigger, better than Dak. Definitely better than Hurts. But Hurts.
How about Jaden? When we put Jaden Daniels on that.
Jaden Daniels. I probably am going to give the edge to Jaden Daniels.
But it's close.
It's close, but Jaden Daniels is going to ultimately, I think, blow him away.
Well, look, Winston's arm talent has never been the question.
No, it's his decision-making.
Yes, and so the question is, can Brian Daboll, who did a really good job developing Josh Allen and harnessing him when it comes to turnovers, and even Daniel Jones 2 years ago, would he be able to harness Jameis Winston? And that's why, from a playing standpoint,
I
would be intrigued by
that. Well, the challenge for Jameis is that mechanically, and this is in the weeds, but like he's very long, you know what I mean? So like his release is long, his wind up, he takes an enormous step forward when he throws the ball. So it's projected. And so unless he's on time, his on time, and the ball comes out, you know, anticipatorily, that's why he gets picked.
Right.
You can see it coming. And so he's just got to be quicker with his decisions and release. Interestingly, that was kind of the same thing we talked about with Daniel Jones last year. Now, Daniel Jones would just not make a decision and then not throw the ball. Jameis is going to throw the ball, and sometimes it'll work out for him, but a lot of times it doesn't. That's what leads to a lot of his turnovers.
I think also, I just want to message out to Giants fans, as I am one. If you're excited about Jameis's arm talent, I think that's great. Do not be the Giant fan that takes to Twitter and use Jameis Winston as the best arm talent in the NFC East as a form to brag to the rest of the NFC East.
That means nothing.
Can we please not embarrass ourselves this year?
He hasn't started in 5 years.
I mean, my God.
Right.
My God.
I've realized that
Hurts just won a Super Bowl. Jaden Daniels is all world. And we're talking about Jameis as being the best arm talent in the NFC.
Giants are going to turn around at some point, right? You'd think?
You would think. Maybe hopefully this year they will.
Yeah. I don't know. I really have zero clue as to what they want to do with that pick, which is great for them. They've been able to conceal it up until this point.
Well, Joe Shane basically gave maybe a little bit of a tidbit yesterday when he was saying that, you know, we're not going to force the issue at number three for a quarterback.
He say for a quarterback?
Yes.
Or? Okay.
Force the issue.
So that to me means...
meaning that if somebody fell to him, maybe, just maybe.
But he's not taking Jackson Dart at number three.
No, that would be a forced issue. Or maybe Shador Sanders would be a forced issue.
That wouldn't be. Does that feel like it depends how much they like him or not, but I don't feel like that would be a forced issue at all.
Again, you're watching the draft.
You're watching this happen.
With a bunch of your Giant fan friends.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's got a different take on things, right?
Yeah.
Everybody has an opinion about what they should do, and they're not the ones making the decision.
Sure.
Are the Giant fans cheering if they pass on Shador and they take Travis Hunter if he's there?
Yes.
Are the Giants fans cheering if they take Abdul Carter and they pass on Shador Sanders if he's there?
Yes.
Okay. Let's say... yeah, so you're telling me that it's either going to be Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter.
Or Shador Sanders.
No, because Cam Ward's going to go number one.
No, but if Shador drops, the Giants are going to take him. That's what I've been saying all along. If Shador's there at three, they're going to take him.
You're saying, would the Giant fans applaud? And I said, yes, they would applaud. Doesn't mean that's what I think they're going to do.
Oh,
totally
okay.
Different conversation.
All right, okay.
Yes, would they be cheering?
I'm just asking you, your Giant fan friends.
Yeah, they'd be happier with Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter over Shador Sanders. But I don't think that's what the Giants are going to do.
I think if Shador's there, they're
going to take him.
Because they went out there and saw him during the season. They met with Deion. Obviously.
Well, because what I've said many times before is the only way that they could keep their job is to show that they've got the future at that position. And other than getting Matthew Stafford. So now that they bombed out on that and they got these two guys and Russell Wilson and Jameis Winston, like, you can't have a 4 or 5 win season with no future. And you're not going to keep your job that way. But if they're hanging around 500 and Shador is the future and there's great reports, and even if he doesn't get on the field, you know, but they're right there in the mix for a wild card at the end of the year, and then they know that next year Shador is going to take over and everything has been aces in practice and all that stuff, then John Mara is going to be like, listen, we're going to keep these guys.
Like, somehow if they can do the Minnesota model.
Yeah, the Kansas City model.
They could somehow do the Minnesota model, because the Kansas City model would be they already had a quarterback that was there in Alex Smith, and he had been there for a couple of years and had taken them to the playoffs.
Right. Minnesota model was they got a scrap heap guy who turned out being amazing in Sam Darnold, and then they drafted the quarterback, let Sam go get his money elsewhere, and then are now going to give the job to the rookie.
Hence the Minnesota model.
Yeah, it is. You're right. It is the Minnesota, but we don't know how that model's going to work out year two. Worked out year one.
Minnesota.
Right. We don't know if the Minnesota.
Yeah, because the model, you have to have a long-term view.
Yeah. I mean, and that rookie quarterback's got to work out. So, yeah, I think if he's there, Shador, then they're definitely taking him.
So It's interesting that you think that they're going to take the quarterback. This means that if you are sitting there and you're watching the draft with your buddies,
they're going to go nuts.
They're going to be angry.
I think so. My friends would be angry, yes, that I've talked to. Doesn't mean every Giant fan is going to be angry.
Oh, I know that.
But
I
these
know.
Guys,
I
they,
think
they
there's
don't
probably
want
a lot of Giant fans out there that want Shador.
Yeah, they don't like the fact that it's Deion's kid. They don't think he's that good. Yeah. They like Cam Ward a little bit better. A little bit better. But Shador's a no-go.
I mean, Shador has been in a pro-style offense the last 2 years.
I like Shador. I think he'll be good for them. I don't know. I'm not going to sit here and tell you that the guy is going to be a perennial Pro Bowler, but I would make that move if I were Joe Shane and he was sitting there.
Well, they've certainly spent enough time at Colorado. Now, that could be looking at both he and Travis Hunter.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And then, as you said before, sometimes it helps when the decision is made for you. And the other scenario, which is a tough one, but could happen, is if they do draft Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter, and that guy turns out to be a stud, and Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, the combination of that, you know, does that same thing I'm talking about, which is you either make the playoffs, which could be a miracle, or you're right in the discussion, you're winning a lot of games, comes down to week 17, week 18, and Joe Shane can look at John Mara and go, hey, we won more games, we're going in the right direction, and last year I got you Malik Nabers, this year I got you Travis Hunter, and we'll get our quarterback, but look at this roster that we're building.
Well, the reason I got you Travis Hunter and Malik Nabers is because we can't win games. I mean, what about that argument?
It's a great argument.
Here's the one thing I will say. So this is going to be interesting. They're not going to pick up. I don't think they're going to pick up the fifth-year option on Kayvon Thibodeau.
I mean, they'd be nuts to.
Right. So that means give him one more year. Maybe he'll be highly motivated. They draft Abdul Carter, and there's your other edge rusher. And by the way, I don't know if you've seen any of this tape on Abdul Carter.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen all these guys. I've seen 10 million highlight reels.
His shoulder is like 2 inches from the ground when he's coming around the corner.
Which is all the great ones in the NFL are doing that exact thing. Miles Garrett does it. T.J. Watt.
Bruce Smith
does
used to do it.
Micah Parsons does it. Yeah.
Lawrence Taylor did it. They had this just weird ability to just stay on their feet when they come around the corner and lower their shoulder.
At a high rate of speed.
Yes.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild, but he's got that stress reaction in his foot, which could scare some people.
All right, let me give you one more scenario.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're the Giants, you're sitting there at number three. Both of those quarterbacks are taken. Okay, and now you have your choice between Hunter or Abdul Carter, and I think everybody would be happy with either player. And then later on in the draft, you trade back into the first round, maybe, you know, 28, 29, who knows, 20, and you draft a Jackson Dart or a other quarterback type.
I don't like any of those guys. I don't like Jalen Milroe. I don't like Jackson Dart for New York. No, don't like it.
Okay.
I mean, that to me is forcing the issue.
All right, but I kind of feel like with these one-year deals with Jameis and with Russell, it's like, what's the future at the position?
That's why I said, you know, if they really loved one of those guys, they would have to trade up and get him. They really loved him. I don't know what the hell. Nobody knows what the future of the position is if they don't get a young guy this year. But I also think that they got scared off. I think that their plan originally was one of those guys is going to fall to us. We'll get one of them at number three. And then they felt like they didn't. So they were like, okay, we're going to have Jameis start. Then he's going to be the backup like 4 or 5 games in. And just like they did with Eli Manning and Kurt Warner. And then they felt like, I don't know. Maybe this is a Titans-Browns quarterback draft, and we're sitting there at three, that we got to do something else, so we got to go out and get Russell Wilson, and they did. But the future, that's a great question, future of that position. But these guys, you know, and I bring this up all the time because the fans look at it differently than the guys that are doing jobs, and it's human nature, and you're going to be a fan forever. The Giant fan is with the team for the rest of your life. These guys are fighting for their jobs, and they have to because the owner told them, they got to win this year, and you got to show me we're on the right track. So their decisions this offseason will be based on that, not 3-4 years down the road,
on
what happens in 2025.
Yes.
So there you go, and we'll see. And I'm hoping it's Shador, because that will be the greatest quarterback room to have ever existed. Russell Wilson, Jameis Winston, Shador Sanders, and Tommy DeVito. Come on.
It doesn't get much better than that, that's for sure.
BT, a lot happening at the owners' meetings in the NFL, and the one thing that intrigues me the most is, I hate to bring up the Giants quarterback situation again, but all this talk around Shador Sanders, it feels like Shador and his people want the Giants or are expecting the Giants, but I'm not so sure that the Giants want him at all. And how about the fact that Brian Daboll not going to attend Shador's pro day?
That is very odd. Yeah, I don't know what the Giants are really thinking about Sanders. I mean, I've kind of been all over the map with this. Going back like 4 months ago, it seemed like they were really into him. And then there was some real separation, not necessarily by them, but by those who really cover the sport and have connections inside the building and start to kind of read the tea leaves for the draft here. And now it seems like it's changing a little, but I'm not necessarily taking the bait. I would not take Shador Sanders at three. They might. But what I don't get is everything about the pre-draft process is about perception and maximizing leverage. Why in the world would Brian Daboll not go and watch his personal workout? And don't tell me because he's going to work out just the one-on-one workout for the Giants. Okay, that's great. But to me, like, yes, you can probably get a same read whether it's just you and your football people at your facility, but I don't think that you'll get quite the same emotional read when you've got every team scouting him. Don't you think there's more pressure? Now, maybe Sanders handles it very well, and that's a very good sign. By the way, most of these throwing cuts, they mean nothing. Look at Zach Wilson throwing 70 yards across his body. That's why he got drafted second overall by the Jets. I don't go nuts with this stuff anymore, but for the Giants head coach, for a team that needs a quarterback, to not go and watch the workout is lunacy, in my opinion.
Yeah, I don't know if this is a normal practice. Do teams that have that high of a pick that might be interested in a player not attend the pro day just because they want to see him work out privately? Could this be a smokescreen? I have no idea what's going on here. Although my gut tells me that there's no way the Giants are taking a quarterback with the third pick. I know that people are speculating that they might. I'm not buying it. I believe it's going to be a quarterback somewhere else in the draft later. And I'm not talking about Jackson Dart either, because if the Giants don't take him at three, I highly doubt they're they could trade down, I guess, in the first round. You want to tell me the Giants are going to trade down, with the Panthers? Again, I don't know how it's going to work out here. But if they trade down out of the top 10, they're not getting Jackson Dart. And it might even be sooner than that Dart goes. Maybe somebody trades up to get him. You know how quarterbacks are at a premium here. I don't believe the Giants' actions this offseason would indicate that they would be looking to take a quarterback with the third pick or trade up for one even. I would be at this point now surprised.
I think I agree with you. I think if it was just Russell Wilson or just Jameis Winston, I think I would have a very different opinion. And listen, I know it's not the most inspiring move here. You know, you've got Jameis for 2 years, Russell for the one. You know, the money is what it is. I think it's 10, but then if he plays a ton or whatever, it goes up to $21 million. Like, I think the Giants have been fairly responsible, even though it's a very odd construction of a quarterback room at this point. But because there's now two of them there, I think that the move is now probably more for a project. Maybe, and I don't mean a fifth-round project. To me, that's not acceptable. I mean more of a third or a second-round guy who at least would be ready to play for week one or by week one in 2026 rather than maybe mid-season to end of season 2025.
Yeah, and I don't like the quarterback room the way that it is. I know Jameis is talking about certain things, and we've heard from Russell Wilson. I firmly believe the Giants think that they're better than what they really are. Now, we'll see a play. We'll see what happens in the draft here. They think they could go play a game right now and be good. I doubt it. We'll see if they take a quarterback. For me, it's always, dating back to last year, it's always been about getting the next franchise quarterback. Here we are in April now of 2025. They still don't have that franchise quarterback. If they don't have that potential at the end of this month, I don't know what to tell you. It's going to be a disaster. Shane and Daboll will eventually get fired, and they're going to have to end up finding their next franchise quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is the script that we've hit for a while. Yeah. We're not going to deviate from it. I don't know that there's anybody that can possibly, you're certainly entitled to think what you want, but I don't know how you respond. Possibly disagree with, you know, maybe not all of our assertions, but certainly most of what we said for a while. I think everybody's kind of thinking the same thing. Two more quick hits, though. How odd is this? Now, when I ask you, all right, so who do you think starts week one for the Giants next year? Easy answer, it's going to be
Russell Wilson.
Okay, agree.
whether or not it should be that, but whatever. I think that's what happens. Number two, who do you think the Giants' offensive emotional leader is going to be next year? Your answer would be
offensive emotional
the
leader?
The voice, the guy, you know, breaking the huddle, the morale guy, just the. I think it's going to be Jameis. Has name another team in the history of the NFL?
Well, how are you going to do that from the bench?
Well, that's my point. It's just an odd construction of a depth chart there, and that's what happens when you're desperate. But Jameis, to me, I could be wrong, but I don't know. I think Jameis is going to be the guy in the middle of the huddle before they hit the field, even though he's going to be the backup, you know, doing his,
well, maybe
doing
the
his hype
way,
stuff.
Maybe the better way to say it is, which guy do you think the players are going to want to rally around and play for?
That's kind of what I am saying. Right. And my answer is going to be still Jameis Winston.
Right.
So I think that's a very odd dynamic. And the other thing, I'm not saying it can't work out a little, but it doesn't strike me as natural or normal. Name any other team whose backup quarterback is the verbal mouthpiece and the emotional leader for a team. I don't really know any. And the other thing, too, is so by Dable not going to the pro day, which, and for those, I don't think we even said when it is, it's Friday at Colorado, not to watch Shedeur Sanders, he's also not going to watch Travis Hunter, who's going to work out that day as well. So to me, any information that you can glean, even if it seems to be the most rudimentary thing that you think you already know, it could be a confirmation of something that you already know, it could be something just that triggers a different thought. For him, I'm not trying to bash Dable. I'm not. But it does seem highly irresponsible for him not to be there. I don't understand that at all.
But the fact that he wouldn't go see Hunter, or he's not going to see Hunter either, that does tell me that it shouldn't have anything to do with the Giants drafting, potentially drafting Shedeur Sanders.
Either way you go, and if it's a smoke screen,
I'm not saying that,
whatever it might be, the optics of him, you have the third pick, Shedeur Sanders could go two, Shedeur Sanders could go three, Travis Hunter could go three. Like, two of the people who will be working out on Friday, you very well will have access to and might draft one of them, and you're not going to watch the pro day?
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Anthony's calling from Hicksville. What's up, Ant?
Yeah, listen, guys, isn't it kind of common sense? They brought in the two quarterbacks. They're not going to his pro day. They probably have a really good idea they're not getting Sanders, even if they wanted him.
What about Travis Hunter?
Well, that's different. I'm not sure. Did you guys just state that they're not going to his pro day either?
It's the same day.
Okay, I understand, but so it's the same day. So they're not going to Hunter either.
No,
okay, I don't know about Hunter. I'm just speaking about Sanders.
I got you.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't that make sense to you guys that they brought in two quarterbacks already? Like, they're not showing up the guy's pro day. They
I still think you do your homework.
No, wait, say that again?
I'm sorry. I still do my homework. Now, I know they've been to
wait,
Colorado.
What homework? They already did it.
I understand
they probably already did that.
Yeah,
if you know something for sure, if you are 99.8% positive, why would you waste your time?
I'm going to tell you why, Anthony. Because they're hanging by a string. Their jobs depend on
know.
It.
Brandon, if you know something to be true, are you going to do it anyway?
I'm going to get as much intel and collect.
They already did.
Well, hold on, Ant. Hold on one sec, bud. Now there's a little different level of pressure. Now it's an official pro day, and I want to go there.
So?
I might have a conversation with a coach, with another team's executive. I might see
they
one
already
thing.
Did though.
You keep saying
they've
they already
done
did.
That. What do you guys think they're doing? Sitting on their ass?
I'm not saying that.
Oh, I don't know. You tell me what they're doing. I think they're running one of the worst organizations in sports. No? Ant, you there? We didn't hang up on him. Okay.
No, he's still there. We were giving him a chance to volley back. Listen, I'm not saying that they would 1,000% gain information that would dissuade them from doing what they're already predisposed to do today. I'm not saying that at all. It very well might not. But if there is one more opportunity to collect one more ounce of information for that duo that is very probably going to get fired if they don't win this year, why the hell would you not go?
Yeah, also, so what does that mean, Ant? They're not taking Shedeur Sanders? You know that with certainty? I don't know. I could go based off of actions, but it's been both ways here. We've had reports from legitimate, reputable reporters that say the Giants are likely to trade up for the top pick and select Cam Ward. That's within a span of weeks or months. Then
believe that anymore.
Well, that's what I'm saying. But months ago, that was the feeling.
A little bit.
And it seemed likely. Now it's all of a sudden the Titans, who back then were, they're not going to take Cam Ward. Now it's the Titans are thinking Cam Ward is a sure thing. The Sanders camp whether it's Dion, whether it's some family members seem to think that they want New York, that New York might be likely. This has been going on for a while. There are no indications that the Giants have interest in Shedeur Sanders. Could that be a smokescreen? I guess. Is he even going to be available at number two? The Browns have admitted a mistake, a colossal mistake on Deshaun Watson, and they say they want stability at the quarterback position. So does that mean they take Shedeur Sanders? Like, nobody knows what's going on. All the reports are zigzagging from months ago to where we are now. But that, to me, still doesn't excuse, unless this is just normal behavior for other teams, why you wouldn't go see a pro day, especially if it's going to include potentially two players that are going to be on the board where you pick at number three.
That's the point. It's not just Sanders. I mean, listen, unless this is a couple of years ago and you're the Jaguars and you know you're taking Trevor Lawrence, all right, maybe you don't get, you know, you don't go to the dog and pony show and you let others go and kick the tires.
But even then, like, what are you doing?
I still would go. No, I still would go.
That's what I'm saying. What are you doing, vacationing?
I know. That's your job. I hear you. Maybe he throws to a receiver from Clemson that maybe you drafted in round five that you didn't really have a grade on, and then you see something that day. Like, to me, to accrue as much information. And I'm not even trying to go nuts over this, but it's perplexing to me how the Giants, who have been a train wreck for a decade outside of 1 year, they've got the third pick. They don't fully know what Tennessee's doing. They don't 100% know what the Browns are doing. Two of the guys that they could draft are working out, and you're not going. That's idiotic.
It just doesn't seem to make sense. It doesn't mean that they're not going to be able to select a good player. It doesn't mean that they wouldn't even take Shedeur Sanders or Hunter, but it just doesn't seem to make sense. I'd like somebody to explain why that is the case.
You know, there is a lot of speculation out there that the kind of the environment for a young quarterback for the Giants could be a good deal with both Jameis and Russell there and a young quarterback coming in not having to play. But you and I both know what's going to happen around here. If they bring in a young quarterback, especially with the third overall pick, people are going to want him playing by week six.
Well, if the team is either losing or sort of like 500, not going anywhere.
They could have the greatest plan in place, and then all of a sudden all hell break loose and the team lose five in a row, and then the fan base is going to be screaming, why aren't you playing him? You got to get him some experience. I'd rather see him than see that one. And, you know,
and they might not be wrong about that.
They may not be wrong about that, but I still believe that the only, I think, quarterback that, I don't want to speak for Brian Daboll because I haven't heard this come out of his mouth, but if I had to assume something about Brian Daboll's type of quarterback that he would want in this draft, to me, it's Cam Ward. That's the only guy, meaning that they would have to trade up the number one to get him. And I think that, you know, now Tennessee's putting it out there, oh, man, we were really, really impressed with the pro day, and Cam Ward did this and Cam Ward did that. So everybody's playing because it's silly season. Everybody's trying to, you know, play around and see if somebody is willing to go up to number one to go get Cam Ward. I can't see Tennessee passing on him. I just can't. I mean, if this guy is supposed to be the next coming, then why the hell, especially you're going to give your team to Will Levis, who hasn't shown you in 2 years that he can handle it?
Well, I mean, who really believes he's the next coming? I mean, I think that both of these guys have been looked at as not worthy of the number one pick. Like last year, you had one and two with Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. I mean, everybody says that they're not those guys.
Yeah, but again, a lot of it has to do with what do the teams need at the top of the draft. All three teams at the top of the draft last year needed quarterbacks. They all took quarterbacks. We are all assuming that both the Browns and the Titans need quarterbacks. So you would think that both quarterbacks should end up going number one and number two just under those circumstances, especially about what you just said about the Browns. This is why the Giants protected themselves, and this is why they have two legitimate starting quarterbacks in the NFL. And if one of these two quarterbacks, which I do believe Cam Ward will be the number one pick, is gone, that means that they are going to have their choice at two can't-miss players, either Travis Hunter or Abdul Carter.
Yeah, and
are they going to pay Kayvon Thibodeau a new contract?
No.
It's not it. Then you bring in Abdul Carter.
Yeah, if those two guys are gone, and I think that's why they did what they did with Russell Wilson and added him to the room as well. I really do believe that, that they're now insulating themselves from being shut out of a quarterback again. But if Brian Daboll really loves Cam Ward and that's the type of guy that he wants, and I don't know that to be the case, but if it is...
He's more athletic. He's explosive.
But I'm just saying they got to trade up then to get him.
Yeah,
the case.
Of course.
They really have to. Like, they can't just sit there and have conversations. They got to get it done. And something like that, you know, can... If you whiff on a guy just with a pick, it's one thing. When you whiff on a guy like the Bears did with Mitch Trubisky and then traded a ton of picks to go up to number two to do so, it's even worse.
You could say that about Carolina and Bryce Young.
Although he did come around a little bit last year, but yes, so far he'd been more bad than good there.
Yeah, but the team has not been good, and the ownership is very...
Weird.
Yes.
I guess that's sort of kind to put it that way. But yeah, 3 weeks from Thursday... The NFL draft. It's going to be a long 3 weeks talking about the Giants and their quarterback situation.
I mean, that's going to be a really unique... If everything stays the way it is and there aren't any trades, I would think that trades are being bantied about left and right now. And we may see something the week of. You know, maybe we'll get something from Aaron Rodgers, hopefully in the next couple weeks. Sooner or later, he's got to tell the Steelers what he's doing so the Steelers can then modify or decide what they're drafting and how they want to draft.
I mean, it seems to me that they thought that they were going to get Aaron Rodgers, or they really didn't like Russell Wilson and Justin Fields at all. Or maybe they liked Justin Fields, but Justin Fields felt like, hey, you guys kind of, you benched me and I never got to see the field again. The Jets are going to give me the starting job, so I don't even care if you guys are interested in me. But the bottom line is they're going to have egg on their face if Aaron Rodgers retires and they got Mason Rudolph as their starting quarterback. And that's not what they were planning to do.
It's not what they're planning to do, but then it also means that they may have to trade up to get somebody in the draft that they believe could be the quarterback of the future. So Mason Rudolph would be your stopgap starter, and then you'd have whether it be Jackson Dart or any one of these other quarterbacks, Kyle McCord, any one of those would take over in the middle of the season if, in fact, they show that they can handle it. I mean, I keep telling you, like, most of these guys don't understand what they're about ready to step into. And if you have a guy that, let's say, you meet this guy at the combine and you're sitting down and you say, hey, let's sit down and look at some tape and let's go over what you were doing here and what this play was. And the guy says to you, hey, coach, is this what professional football is like? Like, all this tape watching? And the coach goes, yeah. And the guy goes, oh, man, that's not for me. Like, all right, then you're not for me as a coach. Like, this is what they are now doing. They're evaluating what I call the Peyton Manning effect. And it really took hold when Peyton became the quarterback that he became in Indianapolis. And this is where the quarterback had to know everything, had to be on top of everything, had to study it, had to love it, had to eat, sleep, and drink it. And you can't just show up and expect to play because you're a great athlete.
Yeah.
Much more that goes into it.
I mean, there was that famous story about Jamarcus Russell. They gave him blank DVDs and they said, hey, go ahead and watch this and tell us what you think. And then he came back and said, what'd you think of that tape? And he went on a bunch of lies. Oh, you know, it was good. I saw this about this wide receiver and that. And they were like, there was nothing on the DVDs.
Right. So that is the one part that you can't determine. And then they try so hard to determine that by talking to their coaches, talking to, you know, maybe some of their teammates. They go back to high school. They go talk to the high school coach. They got to make sure that when you take a guy this high in the draft, especially at the quarterback position, that he's an all-in type of Peyton Manning guy. Like, he's going to take it to the next level competitively, mentally. He's going to be the leader. He's going to be the unquestioned leader of the team. And, you know, this is what Josh Allen, Joe Burrow, Lamar Jackson, Patrick Mahomes, is. They've all done that. And that's why you got to be really careful picking one of these kids. Just because they're a great athlete, that doesn't mean that's going to transfer to the NFL game. There's so much more to it.
And after 2 years of the Jets being the team that we talked incessantly about and the Giants being quiet and in the background, the Jets are now quiet and in the background. You don't hear really anything out of them. I mean, the big news of the weekend with Darren Mooji talking at the meetings was that Justin Fields, they expect Justin Fields to be the starter. We knew that already. So, I mean, this is a regime that, and I think it's a good thing. I really do believe that it's not like drama everywhere. I know there was a little bit of drama when they decided to move on from Aaron Rodgers, and the guys were posting their feelings about that. But I mean, ever since the, you know, the original press conference and things are moving in this direction, you're just not hearing a lot out of them. And when it's the Jets, that no news is good news.
Aaron Rodgers was out of here the day that he brought up Brick Johnson on McAfee.
Yeah.
I'm telling you.
No, I know. I'm not fighting you on that.
It's not, this was not the decision of the coach or the GM. This was the owner telling the coach and the GM, get rid of this guy. We're starting over, and we're doging the whole organization, and we're going to figure it out, and we're going to try to get it straight, and you are going to be the unquestioned leader, Aaron.
Yeah, I mean,
that's exactly what's going on.
And I didn't have an issue with that. I wanted Aaron Rodgers to go elsewhere, and it'll be interesting to see if he wants to give it one more run or not. I mean, I thought he should retire, I really think that that's probably the best thing for him. This didn't work. He gave it a shot. I mean, you come back and maybe have another great year, and you can leave and have a better taste in your mouth. But, I mean, you're also now, I mean, he's got so many other interests. He just never seemed to me to be the guy that was going to, like, every single play that he could play, he was going to do so. It seemed like, okay, now I'm done. Now I'm going to go back to Egypt.
I know that the Steelers haven't won playoff games since Ben Roethlisberger left, but I'm telling you right now, he's got a team that's got a culture, that's got a head coach, that's got a history. They went out and got DK Metcalf. He's got two big wide receivers to throw to. He's going to have a running game because they always have a running game. I mean, if you are going to go out and you're going to retire and you want to go out on top and you want to go out the way that you want to go out and be a year removed from your Achilles surgery, that's the team, especially if the Vikings don't want you.
Yeah, and apparently they're still leaving the door slightly ajar just in case he wants to come back and play for a minuscule amount of money. But I still don't think that's going to happen.